Hey, everybody, welcome to yet another fantastic episode of Tall But True. I am your host, Ben Bailey. Thank you so much for listening up to this point. Please continue to do so and subscribe if you haven't yet. I'm here in my home studio of Triple B Productions with my co-host, Mr. DC Benny.
Yes, indeed, at Triple B in Jersey.
Triple B, Jersey. What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm all right, man. Took the train out here today, so that was always an adventure.
Was there any interesting characters on the...
One guy getting mad at his kid that was hilarious.
Oh, he's really?
Like, just don't do that! You know, the kid's like two, you know?
So he just immediately does it?
Yeah, he's
like, just don't stop it! Have you ever seen a parent, like, being a little too harsh with their kid, and you're like, should I say something?
It's weird.
Then, like, you read, and it says, no, don't, because then the kid's just going to get it worse later because of you.
Right.
Our guest is looking at me like, am I supposed to speak yet?
Can I jump in?
Jump in whenever you want.
What kind of sadistic shit is that? I want to come in, but you didn't introduce me. And I don't want to be rude. There's so many rules on this podcast.
It's all part of the setup. We bring you in here.
You know what? I'll bring myself
we,
up.
We show you the beautiful view of under my deck.
Yeah. This is serial killer shit.
You see that hole in the ground? That's where you're going.
Yeah.
That's our guest, everybody. He's our good friend, another fantastic storyteller and a great comedian, Mr. Angelo Lozada.
Yeah.
Lozada, Ben.
Lozada. Yeah, that's what I said.
No, you said Lozado.
Well, no, I didn't.
Lozada. Is it the headphones?
It might be some echoing.
I know how to say it. I've known you for 20 years.
20 years, that's why... I was like, wow.
It's Angelino Lozario.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that it?
That's exactly it.
Angelino Lozario.
He was great in Sin City.
I get a little sensitive about my name because it's constantly
butchered.
Butchered, misspelled.
Oh, is it really?
Oh, man.
Do people call you Mr. Burbigaboo ever?
At least you're not Wartofsky, all right?
Twice. Oh, Wartofsky.
Wartofsky gets murdered.
Dude, we were friends on Facebook for 3 years.
You didn't know who
before
it was.
I realized it was you. I'm like, who's this dude?
Yeah, who's this Wartofsky
Ben Wartofsky. and why he keeps liking my shit. And then I realized it was DC. I was like, oh.
You were like, oh, it's...
But name butchering has been, especially in intros, and so forgive me. I don't mean to.
No, that's cool.
I did like a little tour in Germany and Italy, and it's me and Tony
awesome.
Roberts. Yeah, it was
Tony
wonderful.
Roberts.
Tony Roberts. It's some years ago, and Marshall Brandon.
Oh, I was thinking Tony Robbins.
Did Tony Roberts have a towel on stage?
Yeah. Tony Roberts has a towel on stage, and that's because he perspires.
He's a sweaty.
He's
one of those
sweater.
Very sweaty
he's
guys.
A sweater.
But he's got towel flourishes. He's got a whole shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
towel.
No, he has bits with the towel. Yeah. He's very functional with it. Yeah.
That's cool.
But I guess
I've met him. When you first said it, I was like, Tony Robbins.
No.
Are you a motivational speaker now? What
big
happened?
Teeth?
I thought we were in the same business.
I open for Tony Robbins. So we're doing this tour. And so the host, he's also the booker, is one of those situations.
Yeah.
Not
really
a comic, but he wants to get up.
Military? Right.
He'd rather
military?
Do both
it's military,
jobs.
Yeah. Military.
He'd rather do both jobs poorly.
Yeah.
Than do one gonna, well.
Dude, pick one. So he says, right before he brings me up every show, give it up for Angelo. I go up, do my thing. After the show, man, I'm so sorry. Your last name. I can't say your last name. Next show, Angelo.
He's just bringing you up just
before
as Angelo.
So he brings me up just as Angelo. This is all week. Last show in Belgium. He says, Angelo, I need to get this right.
This is the last show of the whole tour.
What's your last name? I got to get this right. Lozada. He's like, Lozada. And then he walks away. I swear to you, he came right back. Say that again. Lozada. Angelo Lozada. Boom, he leaves. I'm like, all right, I'll get both names. This show is the last show. He brings
Maybe
me
some
up.
Some people in Europe will know your real name.
Both of them. He brings me up and he says, please give it up for Alonzo Lozada. He didn't even get D'Angelo.
Alonzo Lozano.
That's better than Angelo Lozano. You may want to change.
Oh, my God.
Alonzo Lozano.
Says Ben Wartofsky.
Alonzo Lozano.
Dude, he didn't even get D'Angelo. I was like, wow. All right.
That is horrible. That.
I may call you that from now on, dude.
That is a fantastic name.
Alonzo Lozano. Sounds like I'm in a novela.
Yeah. It was like, night dying.
You're like the guy's friend.
I felt deep.
Allow me to introduce me to my friend.
Alonzo Lozano. You can't just say the one name. You can say the whole thing. Alonzo Lozano.
And it means fruit of my loins.
That's
or
exactly
something.
That's exactly what it means.
Fruit of your loins.
You were quick on that Google Translate, bro. Well done.
Alonzo Lozano. Yeah.
So that's why I guess.
So it's actually Angelo Lozada.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think it, I maybe it's.
I'm
not
sorry,
a,
I made that a thing.
Lozado, because I was doing the you know the fight night,
like the Michael
Angelo
Buffer.
Lozado. That sort of thing.
The Michael Buffer.
Yeah, the Michael Buffer.
Oh,
that's
what
right.
it is. Yeah, yeah.
Let's get ready to Lozando.
Are you guys excited about this Conor McGregor fight with Mayweather?
There's a lot of shit talking that's going on. That's
I know nothing. Well, nothing about it at all. No.
Oh, Conor McGregor makes it a show. Like yesterday is a press conference and you know.
Mixed martial arts guy versus fucking Mayweather.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's gonna be interesting.
It's a little
Yeah, I know Mayweather. I know the names of the guys. I didn't realize that was happening.
So this is the first time,
crossover.
Right? Crossover. That's never happened before.
That's never happened before.
Mixed martial arts.
Pretty soon there'll be live animals in the ring.
Right.
It's going to be Rome. We're just going to be sitting up there with our thumbs up or down. Yeah.
But McGregor's got this. He's a showman. He's really pumping it up. Yeah. Well, Mayweather's a showman, too, but it's just different types. And McGregor has this like Savile Row suit on, but the pinstripes are the word fuck over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Yeah, you look at the...
It's custom made.
Yeah, it's custom.
You can't buy that off the rack.
Yeah. Are you at Men's Warehouse?
Let me get the fuck suit.
You got the...
Give me one of those fuck suits. Like,
you don't have the fuck suit?
Scott.
I'm out. Come on, babe. Let's get out of here. This place is bullshit.
Is it Savile Row? I always thought it was Savile Row.
I believe it's Savile, but you have to ask Alonzo Lozando.
I have no idea.
Alonzo Lozando. Savile Row.
Gigante.
Savile Row. Gigante.
Gol.
Oh, that's awesome.
As they do, if you listen, well, you don't listen to Spanish radio.
Not so much.
Not
radio. No, no. Spanish radio. Baseball broadcasts when a ball is hit and like, oh, al fondo.
He just yells the whole time it's in the air.
Al fondo. It's like, it's goal.
But it's so that's, baseball equivalent.
Yeah. Alonzo Lozando.
What's the worst mispronunciation you've ever had of your name?
Oh,
the
man.
Right one. Wartofsky. They can't get worse than that shit.
Oh, man. I can't even. I mean, I had. Well, people called me Warfartsky.
But just kidding.
Yeah, no, like when someone was introducing you.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Did you ever have somebody mispronounce your name then?
Ever. That's how I got D.C. Bennett, because nobody could say it.
Because nobody could say Wartofsky.
Nobody could say it, yeah.
Did you ever go on stage as Wartofsky?
At first I did, then it was just hopeless because I started in the black room, so was really massacred.
Look here, say your name again.
Yeah,
pronounce it again, Wartofsky. No, the first name. Oh, Ben. Yeah. So you had black folks saying Wartofsky.
Oh, trying. And then I just went on as Ben. I just went on as Ben like a fucking
just
supermodel or something. And
like,
then,
what's with these comedians and this single names? Angelo, Ben.
Yeah. But Jimmy
Angelo's
Mack,
huge in Europe. This guy Angelo?
Yeah.
Angelo is a nobody in Europe, but Alonzo Lozano, he's a monster. He's a monster.
Oh, that's awesome. So I think the worst intro I ever got was Bobby Kelly's bringing me up, and he goes, he goes, this next guy... You'd know him from, he goes, actually, you wouldn't really know him because he hasn't done fucking shit. It's Ben Bailey.
Thanks, Bob.
Son of a bitch.
The skinnier, this must have been the skinny Bobby
Kelly. I think
Kelly.
It was skinny confident Bob from way back when,
Skinny with hair, you're right.
The skinny with hair Bob.
And that's around the time we probably met Angelo Lozada, right?
Yeah, that was pretty early on at the Boston, when all those guys kind of first came down from Boston.
It's around that time. It's a long time, man. 20
long
years?
Time. Long time.
Too long. We're old.
Yeah.
Why do we get so old?
Bailey's the one with no gray, but me and...
I have some gray. I just keep it short.
My shit is...
Short on the size. You can't see my... I look like the commissioner from Spider-Man. If I let it grow. I got stripes. Give me something I can print, Parker! Piece of shit!
My shit is not gray. It's platinum.
Platinum.
I love your gray. Shut up, bitch. It's platinum.
Like you have gray, too. You just dye it, right? You could say to them. I think most people have some gray.
I see.
Most people who are, like, in their 30s, like we are.
Do you remember your 30s, man?
Vaguely.
Wow.
I think they were pretty fun.
The 30s were nice.
Yeah.
30s were comfy.
Yeah.
They were good. I felt better about myself than I did when I was in my 20s.
You had a high-top fade.
The things were possible.
You know
I was
mean?
One of the original members of Kid and Play.
You know what I mean? You listen to your Kwame albums. Soul to Soul.
Wow. Soul.
My 30s were wonderful.
Yeah, those 30s were good. Well, you're doing stuff now. You got you're on tour with Trevor. Right?
On tour with Trevor Noah.
I am. On tour. I'm the warm-up for The Daily Show, and Trevor and I, he's been gracious enough to take me with me with him on the road, and it's just
he takes
been,
you with you.
Yeah, he takes me with me.
He's like, Angelo, I got a gig for you.
You're not, you can't, just you can't just take me. You gotta take me too.
You gotta bring me as well as and well. Yourself.
Yeah.
And so that sounds great. How many shows have you done with Trevor?
How many shows?
Yeah.
Oh,
just a guess.
I think we're approaching 100, maybe.
Oh, that's
on the
fantastic.
Road.
Yeah.
And he's pretty
like
cool.
I travel.
He's a great dude.
He's a beautiful, he's a great guy. And he's a young dude. He's 33. Fuck him in the 30s. You know
what I mean? Yeah, how are your 30s compared to his 30s?
But, let's compare 30s. Fuck you.
Who had the better 30s?
Yo, his 33 is better than my 30 to 39.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, but he's really cool with it. And we met at the Gotham Comedy Club, and I was hosting, and Sean, the general manager, he said, you know, he's doing a guest spot, you know. Trevor was. He had just done Letterman, and I didn't know who he was, and he's doing a guest spot. So, you know, when you bring up somebody to do a guest spot, it's 5 to 7 minutes, and I just leave the room. I don't need to see a guest spot. You
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
So on the way, I bring him up.
You go flirt with the bartender.
Yeah, right.
Is it still Gordon? Sorry, go ahead.
Tell me the three of us have banged Gordon at one point. At the same time. I knew it. And so on my way out, he starts doing this bit about correlating the KKK, KFC. And I was like, what the fuck? What? So I turned around and I stayed to watch his set. And then we just hit it off. And then he asked me to travel with him.
That's
so
fantastic.
I traveled with him for a while. And then soon after, when I say there's a little while, like 3-4 months later, he got the show. I was like, oh.
You got the Daily Show.
You got the Daily Show. And I was like, wow, that's fantastic. And everybody shooting me texts, you know what you're doing. Relax. And then what's interesting is I went to the nightly show several months before that because my man Mike Yard was a contributor.
Yep.
So I took my lady to the Daily Show, and we're watching. And my guy Kevin Bartini was the warm-up. He was the warm-up for the nightly show.
He looks just like Jim Brewer, that guy.
Yeah,
I know
does,
that dude.
Yeah.
I know Bartini.
Yeah.
He was in the cash cab.
Oh.
He rode in the cash cab. He and two other comics. I picked them up.
That's crazy.
Years ago.
On purpose or by accident?
By accident.
Really?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Did you know who it was?
Yeah, I had met him at some show somewhere.
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
okay.
It's Kevin, right?
Kevin Bartini.
Bartini. Yeah,
I know. Great guy. So he's warming up, doing his thing, and And you could tell he had to stretch because, you know, rewrites or whatever. I look over at my lady. I'm like, I don't ever want to do this shit ever. She looked at me like, why not? You would be awesome. I'm like, this is bullshit. I would never be a fast forward 3 months. Hey, y'all, where you from? Put your hands together if you're from Detroit. Life is crazy. And it's been
amazing. It's probably a great gig.
It's insane. My call time is 5:30. I'm out by 6:30. I can leave right after I'm done. It's just, I'm real fortunate, man. Yeah,
that's fantastic.
It's been really, really fun. And, you know, the audiences, they're there for him, and they're from all over the world.
It's just a quick warm-up for the Daily Show, right?
Yeah,
I did it once.
Okay.
One time I did it. I can't remember why.
You just walked in and said, I want to try this.
Yeah, and they were, and I totally just blew it.
Like, yeah.
They were like, don't say fuck. And don't talk about
this. Who'd you do it for? Oh, for the Daily
Stewart,
Show?
For the Daily Show.
They told you not to say fuck?
They gave me a couple of basic instructions.
And one of them was not to say fuck?
One of them was don't say fuck.
Wow, because I say fuck. How y'all doing?
Oh, that's fantastic.
He opens with
it. Freedom.
Maybe I changed that rule by breaking it.
<'Cause>
I completely broke it and said fuck like 4 times. And I got the crowd pretty fired up.
Oh, good.
But then Stewart came out and shook my hand and looked at me like, who the fuck are you? Yeah. So I don't think anyone told him it was going to be a
sometimes
different guy.
Sometimes that happens.
Bailey Lozando.
It's Baylor Lozando.
Sometimes that happens. They don't know. Sometimes if I can't make the Daily Show and Trevor comes out, because then I bring him up for the Q&A. So he comes out, he's in the wings. He's like, who the fuck is that? That's not Angelo.
Yeah, who's that dude?
So sometimes they don't know. I've warmed up for Oliver, John Oliver. And the first
time. Welcome.
Exactly.
We just have time for a short. He's great. I love that show.
He's amazing, man. And that show is fun.
Yeah.
So I brought him out.
Super
I remember
smart
the first
and
time.
Funny.
I brought him out the first time for his Q&A, and I could tell he didn't really know I was going to be there. You know? He's like, who the fuck?
Who's this guy? Yeah.
But I've done it several times. That's also been fun, man. So, it's been great. I've been traveling with Trevor, and it's good to travel with a headliner that just sells out theaters, and they add shows, and it's like, wow. It's
fantastic.
It is, man.
Such a good deal, man.
It's really nice, man. And they come out.
And you guys were friends before, and even if it wasn't like great sold out gigs, great money and all, to be traveling with someone that you like,
sure, who's not insane,
who's
all
not
the time.
Totally insane, is fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
It makes such a difference.
And the three of us have about 23 stories about that. Just traveling with dudes, you're like, the fuck?
Yeah.
What is wrong
with you?
What is wrong
with you, man?
Animal. You're an animal.
You know?
Oh, is there a story there? I want
to
hear that.
I'm trying to think. There's like 50 coming together. And, wow.
People are crazy.
People are
nuts.
More
just quirky and like have their own weird little shit.
And some are just assholes because they can be. There's that dynamic.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just like, come on, man.
It's funny. I'm looking at it from the other side. I'm thinking of guys that have opened for me.
Yeah.
And then they're kind of, and they just like annoy me for day after day. And then at the end, they're like, so if you got another gig, I'm like, you've been an asshole for 3 days. I'm not bringing you on another gig with me. You've been trying to compete with me. Shut the fuck up, no.
Oh, that's insane.
But that's
that
rare,
would be crazy.
Actually. Usually they're like very nice guys.
But that's hilarious. Yeah. Because an asshole headliner, fuck it. He's the headliner.
Yeah, yeah.
But a dick feature?
Yeah.
That's
what are you
hilarious.
Doing? Yeah.
Like, what are you...
epidemic, though. It's definitely... Yeah.
You know?
It's egos. It's the young, like, egos. They're like, oh, I'm better than this old guy or whatever.
There's a warm-up, and I was thinking about doing something about it, a short or something I think would be interesting. Because there was a warm-up comedian who was considered, you know, he wasn't a cool dude with the staff and with the... And I'm like, that's hilarious. Shut up. That's hilarious.
Someone who used to do the warm-up for the Daily Show?
No, not at all.
Oh.
No, he didn't do the warm-up for the Daily Show. He did for another show. And so I just heard that he was just, not fun. So I just thought it'd be funny, like, you know, the warm up with, you know, tuxedo with the bow tie undone with a rock glass with bourbon in it and him just being an ass to everybody. You know what I mean? That to me is hilarious. Because you hear stories like that. It's like, dude, you're the warm up. Relax.
Yeah, you're not the host.
You're not the.
I'll tell you what, though, warming up a show is an art.
Yeah.
I take nothing away from those guys. That you guys. I mean, I'm sure you've mastered it. It's different from doing a stand up set.
It is
different from telling a story, doing an interview, whatever. It's a specific thing.
Yeah, it is.
And the guys that do it and manage to keep those jobs are fucking good at it.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
The hardest ones, I think, are sitcoms.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, fast forward 3 months. Yeah, right. I don't know if I ever want to do Mike and Molly. Hey, who likes fat people?
That'll get you fired from Mike and Molly right there.
That'll get me fired before hired if they hit us. But yes, sitcom is a different animal. They like
because it goes
daytime
for so
talk
long.
Show. Yeah, and then you have to keep coming up and coming.
They keep going up every time. I did this show Hope and Faith years ago, and there's several funny stories. No, I was on the show.
Oh, okay.
And the guy that did the warm up, he was there. I mean, we shot it all day.
Yeah.
And we shot it on four different stages in a row. Mm. You move from one to the next to the next to the next. The audience moves with you. Right.
They get up.
So you've got one sound stage, then you've got where the next shot is, right next to it, and then, and the prop and set builder guys, they always blow me away. Like, he's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But the guy who did the warm up really blew me away the most out of anybody, because he was there keeping that crowd alive and enthusiastic for like 6 hours.
That's crazy.
Not straight through, obviously, but like in between everything. It was like
it's almost like you're hypnotizing them so they don't feel the pain of sitting there for six fucking hours.
Yeah, totally. It's actually good that they move a little bit.
And then saying, "You guys comfortable? All right, get up. We got to go to this next.
Yeah, get up. We're moving down. You know, everybody move to your left,
but
50 feet."
As you mentioned, like the set guys and the stage managers and the crew, it's fascinating on how they build these shows. You know, to watch this being put together is phenomenal. You know, it's a science, and they do a great job, man.
Yeah,
but a sitcom would be kind of nutty for me.
To do the warm up, you mean?
Yeah, to do the warm up. Yeah.
I don't know how the guy did it. I mean, he had all these tricks. He had clearly been doing it for a long time.
Right.
I did a Cosby show years ago. I have a story about it, but part of it.
A great story.
Yes, part it is. Of it. Yeah, I think I know. I think I know. Remember
they
this
went back
one.
To Cosby's room.
Nobody gets raped in this story.
Quaaludes were involved, but no one gets raped.
Nobody.
Drink the cappuccino.
But there was a warm up.
I call it a Quaalude spritzer. With DC, he didn't hide anything.
No.
These are
right
Quaaludes. Give me your glass.
Pure pudding.
So what happened? He did the warm up.
There was
this for like the original like Cosby
it was like
show?
The reincarnation of it they shot in Queens. And,
with Dougie Doug.
With Dougie Doug.
Right.
And I was a guest.
Why
are
you laughing at that?
Dougie Doug, who was in.
I think that's the only thing that anyone knows about the comeback of Cosby. And
Dougie
that's the only
Doug.
Thing anyone knows about Doug E. Doug. Is that he was
guy.
On the comeback
the
of
the Jamaican bobsledding movie now.
Cool
Running. Thanks, Gorch.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
Operation Dumbo.
Operation Dumbo Drop?
Yeah.
Wasn't Marky Mark?
Operation Dumbo Drop.
With Ray Liotta.
Yeah, and Danny Glover.
And Danny Glover.
Yeah.
And Dougie Doug and Marky Mark.
Marky Mark.
Oh, was he in that too?
I think Marky Mark
was. I don't think so.
Alonzo Lozando was. So, yeah.
Just quick. The
tell.
There was a. They would shoot the show one day. They would shoot it another day, and then the last day they would shoot it in front of a live audience who Cosby bust in, and it was like, I think it was some church or something, and he bust in all these old ladies, and then we would do it like a play in front of them. But there was a warm-up that he also flew in, I think from Atlanta, and right. I was hanging around like in between, and the warm-up was up there, and the warm-up started snapping on me. Like he was like, oh, like, look like, look at this Puerto Rican they just let in, you know, walking across. And I'm like, is this fucking dude talking to me? And he doesn't know I'm a comic. So I just started laying into this motherfucker. laying into
he's
him.
He's like
right?
attacking you from the stage
he's
while he's doing the warm-up.
He's got the mic, and he's attacked me.
He doesn't know.
He doesn't know what's coming.
He doesn't know.
Oh, he didn't know what was
coming. Wartofsky.
I went, yeah, and I fucking laid into that guy, and all these church ladies are laughing, right? And then I got in trouble for it. Like some one of the producer people came out, and they were like, you can't, you know, that guy's got a job to do. And but I'm like, that guy attacked me.
Attacked me.
He didn't know. He stuck his finger in the cage, right? I was just walking across the room. He's talking about a Puerto Rican. I'm not even Puerto Rican, you know? And then one of the ladies stood up and was like, that motherfucker was funny. He wasn't funny, pointing to the warm-up guy. Yeah,
said he's not funny. Said you were funny.
Said I was funny.
But you were walking across. You were on the set walking across. It's not like you were in the audience.
I was on the set.
It was obvious you were a part of the show.
It was obvious I was in front of the set.
Right.
But the guy was up in the bleachers, like, talking to the people.
Oh.
And he just kind of, he wasn't doing well. Yeah. You know how you're looking for, and you're like, oh, he's look at this dude.
Yeah.
So he started, and I'm like, I know this dude.
That's wild.
It's not fucking with me. And
that's hilarious.
It was funny. It was really hilarious. Funny.
Because I can't even think in that scenario, and that situation, you can't, as a warm-up, you can't lose control of the audience. You know what I mean? Because then you'll be fired. You know what I mean? So if I'm talking to someone and that person just rips into me, ain't never going to happen. But I'm just saying, because...
Those Daily Show crowds are pretty rough.
No, they're not. those NPR listeners,
they're
folks.
Very liberal-minded.
Right.
Those libtards. But it's been wonderful. But what I'm saying is, like, if I lost control of... If a warm-up comedian loses control of that audience, that's not good at all.
It's not good for
the tone and the show. And, you know, so good job, bro.
Well, hey.
That's
hilarious. He was asking for it.
Oh,
because I've been there. Like,
it.
That made me think of... sometimes I at a college... For those of you guys listening, you don't know what
college
it's like
is.
To go to a college
for
show.
Those of you, for those of you who don't know what college is.
For those of you that didn't go to college.
For the listeners of this podcast.
But performing at a college could be hugely varied.
Yes.
Like, we've done some together since, like, Cash Cab and whatever.
Right.
That have been great.
Yeah.
We
they wait out
had
on
like
the lawn.
1,500 kids
just,
or
they
something.
They got a lookout on the
great.
Fucking lawn. Yeah, like, is Bailey coming? Like, there's kids
really?
On the lawn. There's a lookout. Wow. Yeah. We got to sneak around the back. Yeah. I mean,
so those have been great.
Those
but,
are great.
Like, go back 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was, like, making my money one college after another, it could be anything. You could get there and it could be a theater. It could be a good
cafeteria
show.
Cafeteria during
the
day.
It could be a cafeteria. It could be a food court.
Yeah. Yep.
Could be in a hallway.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or a study lounge, no microphone.
A classroom.
Yeah, it could be.
Frat house.
It could
no
be
microphone.
The best to the worst. It runs the gamut.
Yeah.
And you never know. There's
one
no
of them.
Way.
Mostly worse, but yeah.
Yeah, mostly worse, yeah. One of them, years ago, I was in a food court at a college. And this you reminded me of it when you were saying you're up there and you're kind of looking around for something. Nobody's really paying attention to me. I'm just talking.
Yeah.
There's like 300 kids in there probably, but it's a huge space. It's all like weird shaped, so some of them are like around the corner and like peeking in, looking at me to see what's going on, you know. So I'm starting looking around for something to talk about in the room.
Yeah,
I'm like, because they're not listening enough that I can do my weird bits.
Yeah,
that are 10 minutes long and you
10
have to
minute
be with
bit.
Me from the beginning. Yeah. So I'll do some. So
no,
I'm
wait, looking, wait.
I'm right where you were.
You have a 10-minute owl
he
bit?
Does.
Is the
I
owl
do,
bit 10
yeah.
minutes long?
Yeah, I have a bit. It's about 10 minutes.
The owl
awesome.
Bit is hilarious, but is it 10 minutes? It's hilarious. Okay, I'm sorry. Go
maybe on. The bird ends up dead with a steak knife in his chest. Maybe.
Maybe, maybe.
But so I'm right where you were, where he was, where the guy was looking around for something to keep everyone's attention, and he just had the dumb luck of seeing you. He's like, oh, I'll fuck with this guy.
Yeah, this is right.
And he has no idea that you're a professional comedian, and right. then, bam!
This guy's going to save
you.
He
got some taken.
But usually that doesn't happen. Like, I was looking around, and I see this kid who just, I don't know if he's always like this, but he's just not, things are just not working for him. Like, he's just trying to, like, get a tray and a plate and silverware and napkins and shit.
But it's just things are not falling together. You know, you have days like that. Yeah. And so I just start doing commentary. Right. And he's like 100 feet away from me at the buffet. And pretty within like 30 seconds, I have everyone's attention.
Right.
And they've all been ignoring me until then. And now I'm like, oh, no. I'm humiliating this guy. I didn't mean for this to happen, but oh, my God. And it just got worse and worse. Like every time he grabbed a fork and dropped it on the floor and left it, grabbed another fork, dropped that on the floor.
And another fork.
I'm like, oh, he's just moving all the forks, you know? And everyone's like, ho, ho, ho. And he doesn't know.
That's the best, though.
Oh, my God, dude. It was unbelievable. It went on for like 5 minutes until the dude had all of his stuff. He finally had his big pile of food, and he had his silverware and his chocolate milk, which I made fun of him for drinking chocolate milk like a little boy, and he fucking dropped all of it on the floor, and he got a standing ovation. The entire place stood up and gave the guy a standing
ovation. I should have seen that coming, but I was hoping not.
I feel like I should have seen it coming, but I felt terrible because I felt like I sort of made it happen because he figured out what was going on, and then he got even more nervous and awkward.
That should be a movie with Brian Scalaro, I think, right? He sneezes 27 times. It goes everywhere.
Hey, do you find that college students really enjoy when you like lean into people? Like when you start snapping on people,
it's hard to go back to your material.
Hard to go back. Once you do that, you have to be ready to just, all right, we going in.
Yeah, we're just
for the rest
like
of my
improv
time.
Yeah. For the rest here.
Yeah.
I think that's true everywhere.
Yeah, I do.
I love doing improv and crowd work and making shit up.
Yeah.
You think like in clubs
you have to get
stuff?
To a certain point.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
When you're like, all right, if I go that route, it's from here to the end.
Yeah. You know? So you got to be crafty to weave in and out. And I was at a college, I was at Quinnipiac in Connecticut. And I was with my guy, Eric.
Where they
Neat,
do the stats.
Where they do the polls. Yeah. And I'm with my guy, Eric Nieves.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen him.
I remember that guy.
Yeah. Eric is still doing his thing.
Cool. Stop drumming on the table. It's coming through on the mics.
Okay.
All right, so.
That's Ben. So.
That's me doing that, everybody.
So we're going in. He's, you know, he's doing his thing. And he starts picking on a dude, like, in the middle of the crowd somewhere. And he asks something. And the dude says something illegible. Like, he couldn't understand what he's saying. So he's like, you know, that hack shit. Yeah, what are you, retarded? You know, that whole thing. And the dude was a deaf mute. Like, well, not mute, but he was deaf. So he was like, yeah, I can't walk in. So it became a thing. Like,
that's like
so the
joke.
Crowd is like, oh. So, like, I don't know whose side they were on, but they were just, like, goading him on. Like, yo, yeah, fuck him. Like, fuck who? Whose side are we on here?
Oh, wow.
Yo, this dude was
And they
really,
were yelling back and forth at each other in
and
that
it was
voice.
Like, yeah, man, yeah, you know.
It's like the old
when you say in that voice,
ice cream
you mean,
man joke.
Yeah. And after the show, the dude wasn't having it. So the dude met Eric outside. He wanted to fight. Oh, you think you a man? You think you a man picking on people? Yo, it had to
and
be. It
Eric
was,
felt like this, like tiny.
Yeah, he didn't
Eric
feel,
kicked him in the wheelchair.
He didn't feel good. The fight was broken up by two Down syndrome students. It was just odd. But it's just, you know, you pick on someone. It's not even pick. I don't like, I like going in and just creating like a fun atmosphere.
Yeah.
I don't like it when
you can do it lighthearted. You can do it without really.
Especially in the urban rooms, you know what I mean? Look at this motherfucking tight ass shirt. Nigga, I can see your heartbeat. And your mother ain't no good. She bought you that shit. It's like, dude, relax. Why are you talking about his mom? And so it just becomes, so then when you hear, oh, there was a fight out front, you're like, yeah, they should have been.
Yeah, that's like, I was at the Cellar, like, geez, 6 months ago or something. Mm. And some girl's heckling the comic, and the girl's sitting there with her man. And the comic just calls her a whore. It's like, shut up, you stupid whore.
Yeah.
And then the guy waits.
and they get into a fist fight. It's like, well, you called his girlfriend a whore. Yeah. He has to wait.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Like, if you were out somewhere with your lady and some dude called her a whore, you'd be like, well, fuck, what am I going to do?
I'd be like, I nailed it.
Like, do you guys know each other?
But there are comics that are the trigger. What is it? Their hair.
Yeah, hair trigger.
They will attack, like, by the slightest provocation. Yes. Yo.
And I have to say, I'm guilty of being one of those comics.
I mean, I was looking at you, but you've changed since.
Sometimes you have to call them a whore, though. Sometimes it's like if they're loud and they're fucking you up over and over and over again.
Then call them a cunt. A cunt.
Okay, right, that's good too. That's
good.
I love how you were like, oh yeah, you're right.
I try to deflect.
That will obviously cause the same thing.
Yeah.
You're right though. There's almost no way out.
But
if they keep pushing,
you have to ease into it. I think if you go right to the cunt and the whore, then you gotta fight the Marine boyfriend.
Then you gotta fight
the
Marine boyfriend.
So how do you ease your way, life? So where you from? Morristown. What do you do for a living? Whore. That's how you ease it.
I'm in childcare. Whore. No matter what she says.
I'm in
special education.
Whore. Yeah. Do you talk this much shit to your kids? Whore.
Now, did you grew up on the Lower East Side or in the Bronx?
I grew up in the Bronx.
Ah.
Yeah, in the boogie.
In
the boogie down.
The boogie.
With my stepfather and my mom, my two sisters.
Now, was it your stepfather that had the pets?
Yeah, the pets. Yo, my stepfather.
What do you have, a gorilla?
Okay. Yeah.
A tiger?
My stepfather was from the hills of Puerto Rico. Like, he was a hick. He was the rednecks of Puerto Rico. So he hooks up with my mom. I'm little. They get married. They get married in my grandmother's apartment. And it's funny because I just remember this the other night. I'm talking to my lady, and we talk about, you know, possible locations to get married. I'm like, fuck it. My mom married my stepfather in my grandmother's house. Anything is possible. And it's just because then I remember being little dude, and my mom is coming down the aisle, and it's just, she comes out of my grandmother's bedroom, and it's like, and the aisle is like 3 feet long. It's just ridiculous. Anyway,
a couple of steps.
So my stepfather decides he's going to save money on, you know, food. So he decides to create a little farm in the apartment. We live in a third floor apartment.
A farm.
In the Bronx. So we had chickens. We had ducks. We had rooster. We had a rooster that crowed every morning. And me and my sister Gloria would go out to play. And all the kids were like, y'all be hearing that rooster? And me and Gloria's like, I know. Who the fuck has a rooster? There's no way I'm going to admit. Sorry,
I could tell that it's real because your rooster impression was like amazing.
Yeah. Was it
and
spot
you just
on?
Very casually did it.
Was it spot
it
on?
It sounded, it was damn good.
It's a roommate rooster impression.
It's a Puerto Rican
roommate
rooster, right?
Rooster impression. Because I don't do impressions based on my Cosby earlier. Shit was
based
awful.
On all of our Cosbys.
All our Cosbys. So, and ducks, he had ducks, and they were little ducklings, and they were adorable, and they grow. Like, within a week, they were like 3 feet high. It was insane. One day I came home from school.
3 foot ducks?
Yeah, they were
those
like
are big. I think those were geese, man.
Maybe they were. Maybe they were geese.
I don't think ducks had that.
Yeah,
big.
I don't. Maybe they were geese.
But this is in the apartment?
In the apartment, man.
He literally was like, we're going to have an animal farm
in
the apartment.
So there was like a corridor that he gated up, and he kept them in, and every now and again he'll put the gate up and let them all just roam. One day I came home from school, and I go to the bathroom. I got to take a piss. Go to the bathroom. He's in the tub with two ducks. Like, just, they're swimming around, and he's just splashing them. He's butt naked.
That's some
in
country
the tub,
shit, man.
Dude.
That is country.
What country? Like, this is insane.
Wow.
Okay. All right. So one night, my mom would go to church, like, 8-9 times a week, right? And so she goes to church, and so she leaves me, you know, at home with my stepfather, and my uncle came over. And when my stepfather and uncle would hang, it was hilarious. They get drunk, they hang out. So they're hanging out. I'm just there with them, just listening. They're drunk, and my uncle decides, I'm hungry.
Oh,
so
no.
My stepfather said, what do you want to do? He's like, one of these chickens, we gonna make soup. I'm like 8 or 9, man. Like, this is shit that an 8 or 9-year-old should not be.
You haven't seen one of these things get whacked yet.
No,
right?
No, they haven't been. They haven't
just like
been
pets.
Whacked.
They've just been hanging around there.
So my uncle's like, yeah, one of these, pick one. And he asked me to pick one. I'm not gonna pick nothing, man. Like, what are you talking about? All right, that one. And so he takes, now, you know, you have to, if you don't know, you got to grab the chicken by the neck and you got to spin it like with a snap to kill it.
To break its neck.
To break its neck and to kill it. So you grab it, you extend it, and then you just like a complete rotation with a snap, whop, and then they go limp. So he grabs, we're in the kitchen, so he grabs the chicken, extends it, snap, whop. I'm like 8. I'm like, what the fuck just happened? The chicken goes limp. I'm like, what the fuck? And all of a sudden you hear, rawr. He didn't kill it.
It didn't die.
He fucking maimed it. I was like, what is going on here?
Oh, just
so
brutal.
He knows what to do if an 8-year-old is watching. He decides to slam the carcass onto the kitchen floor and kill it that way. I didn't eat that soup that night.
I was going to say.
He just like whacked it against the
floor. Are you vegan?
And then immediately I was like, I got to be a comic. This is bullshit. Dude, that
shit is too heavy.
That's traumatic.
That's insane, man. I'm sorry to bring this to a halt.
No.
But it was a chicken.
It's a great story.
You know, it's funny. If I would
have
told you a story of a friend.
That's the whole point. It doesn't have to be hilarious.
You know, it's funny. If I would have told you a story of a friend that I knew that got shot in front of me, you'd be like, oh, that's great. But your faces right now, when I said it was a chicken, whoa.
Part of me is
terrible.
Part of me was hungry, honest, to be honest. I'm like, fuck a chicken, man.
Chick-fil-A,
I've eaten so much chicken.
Yeah.
I am not fazed. But if I was 8 or if, like, my kids were watching that,
it was,
you know,
it was insane. The
but
fact
it depends.
That
I mean, if you see something like that as a kid, you kind of get
you
used
do.
To it, right?
Yeah,
the kids that grow up on farms would see that.
Yeah.
They'd see
true.
Animals gutted, slaughtered, everything.
I guess, but there's a certain
the
dexterity. There's but there's a certain.
It's not usually in the kitchen.
Transition from pet to meal.
There's a certain skill to this that if you watch them, you know, this is what they do, and it's in a farm, and it's, you know, in whatever. Not in the kitchen.
Not in the kitchen, unexpectedly.
Just not unexpectedly. Them not knowing what to do. I mean, it was just this whole. But that's how my stepfather thought of animals. He just didn't care. We had also a shitload of dogs, and when he would get tired of a dog, one time King, he told me and my sister, yo, walk him away real far and then tie him up and come home. Yeah, he would have us take the dog.
Holy
King,
shit.
Who I loved, had us
walk
him.
Oh, we're
going to
get calls
him.
About this.
Yeah, no. We walked him. Check this out. We walked him. I thought we walked him long enough. We went on a half-hour walk. We found a fence. We thought, I was like, Gloria, is this far enough? He's like, yeah, I think so. Tied him up. Later that night, we're home. This is hours later. We hear scratching on the door.
He
and we
came
opened
back.
The door. It was King. Yeah.
Oh, man.
King's like, fuck you. And then he
He's
ran
like,
away.
Hey, assholes. I thought we were going to the park. Right? And then you just fucking go home? What the fuck? I thought you were my friends.
Yeah.
Oh, it's brutal.
It's awful.
I may have mentioned this one time before, but I went to college with a guy who grew up out on a farm.
Right.
A peanut farm in the middle of nowhere in Virginia. And they had a dog who was getting old, and they thought it was dying. And they were like, "All right, we're gonna have to kill him. We have to put him down." So his uncle, I think, just fucking hits the dog with a big plumbing wrench, and knocks it out and knocks it down. And they're like, oh, "I guess that's it for Duke or whatever his name was, isn't it?" And very similar, they take him out into a swamp and like half bury the dog. And then, like, the next, yeah, like, didn't do a great job because he showed up on the fucking porch the next day.
Fucking Pet Cemetery.
Scared the shit out of all of them. And they had him for, like, 3 more years.
He's like, hot damn, this is a keeper. He worked his way back.
He found his way home. They just knocked him out.
The fact that I'm not more trauma. I have another story, but this is getting real grim. But the fact
it's fine.
That,
it's fine.
It's not the first time we've talked about killing animals on the show.
That
makes you feel better.
We went on a retreat. Like we went to a day camp and one day, and my sister and I, and we had this little puppy named Blackie. Yeah.
Wait, what's your sister's name?
Gloria.
Did anyone ever call her Gloria Lozano?
No.
Okay, just ask.
No. No, because her name is Rodriguez. We had separate fathers.
Ah, I see.
Because my mom was she would talk, she would heckle at a comedy club. That's another way to say she's a whore. No, my mom is salt of the earth. Whore.
What does she do?
No, my mom is wonderful, man. I'm sure. Yeah. She does say.
She must be.
She says shit like, I know you're going to talk about this. I'm like, Mom, I have to.
Yeah.
She says, I know you do. But so I got another story about my mom. But I don't know if I want to tell it. All right, so Blackie is dead. We come back from camp. And
wait,
it was
who's
Day.
Blackie?
Blackie is our little dog. We had another dog, Blackie.
Okay. There was
little
King,
puppy.
And
little
was Blackie.
Puppy. Yeah. Little puppy. And, oh, we had a dog named Mijol. Mijol. And he was a German Shepherd that had his own bedroom. He had his own bedroom because he was so wild. No one could pet him. He was constantly like wrapped around the tethered to the radiator. My stepfather would have to slide his food dish. I mean, he was just—he was insane.
He was more of an inmate.
He was more. Right. Welcome to
doing push-ups with the phone book. Eating commissary.
You know,
you're gonna eat that.
I'm watching television, have my little Fruit Loops, and he's like, "You gonna finish that?"
Right.
So he was just wild, and he had his own bedroom, and his bedroom was what was supposed to be our bedroom, but because because he was so wild, he couldn't be free. He had to have his own bedroom, and Gloria and I used to have to sleep in the living room, like the dog had. Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
So he was wild, and so Blackie
very
was a little
strange. Priorities with the dogs.
Exactly.
One of them, you're like, take it out and leave it somewhere.
Yeah, the
other
docile
one, like,
one the
Mijol
sweetest
gets
one.
His own room.
Keep it forever.
King, ironically, is the one left in the street.
Yeah, and so,
Mijol's more a dog of the people.
So we go to camp. It's like a day camp. So we go and we come back home. And when we come back home, Blackie's gone. We're like, where's Blackie? And so my mom said, oh, Blackie passed away. Like Blackie was fine. Like, why Blackie passed away? All right. We were going to my grandmother's house in the Bronx. We were in the Bronx. And so we're going over the Bronx River Bridge. And my stepfather, he pulls over. It's like a small little bridge. And he pulls over and he says, I'll be right back. He reaches under, like, the seat. And he pulls out a bag. And he goes to the bridge, the railing of the bridge, right? So I'm always curious. So I come out and say, I'm going to see what he's going to do. So he tosses the bag over the railing. And as the bag is going down, it opens. And you see Blackie's head come out. And it hits the water. And, yeah, I told you it was going to be great.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
The stepfather.
Yeah. Wait, was the dog still alive?
No. This is just his way of
burying. Burial. Viking funeral.
Yeah, Viking funeral.
Yeah, Viking funeral.
For Blackie. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Jesus. I was like, for a second I thought, like, the dog was alive and he just wanted to get rid of it like
he
the other one.
He just wanted to get rid of it, but, dude.
He didn't feel like digging a hole.
Apparently.
Well, this dude I know he grew up on a farm in Jersey. He was like, I got to be friends with him recently, and he was like, yeah, when I was growing up on the farm, because he's got this dog now that just kills baby rabbits. He digs them out of the garden and just fucking kills them. And
is that a good thing or a
it's
bad
just
thing?
A thing the dog does. The dog's
it's not so
great,
good for the rabbits.
But no, but I'm saying, yeah. But I'm saying, is
but maybe
is
good
the
for
rabbit,
the farm.
Messing with the crops and stuff. Or?
I think it's just chilling, and the dog okay. like thinks it's a toy, but right. that he can dismember.
Yeah.
So this guy told me he's like growing up on the farm. There were all these farm animals and stuff, and sometimes you know you'd have to drown kittens. And he was like, it's just the way it was on the farm. He got all these kittens. Sometimes you have to put them in a sack with some rocks and drown them.
Wow.
And I'm like, you know, that was always a joke growing up. Like, that woman is so mean, she's fucking drowning kittens or something. Like people really, wow.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you just drown them. Yeah. Anyway. So, well, I don't know how we
so
got.
So, one
this
time.
This is right like turn.
A, this so, is an interesting
episode. Let me tell you a story
episode.
About what he did. What he did to my little sister. One
oh
day.
My God.
No, I'm kidding. No, this, one day. No.
We're on the Verrazano Narrows Bridge.
Yeah. No, no. He, yeah. He was just set in his ways, and he just knew that animals were.
You get some more.
You can get more. Yeah. And I guess he wasn't attached except to Mijo. And then we moved, and Mijo took a shit in the back seat of his car. He got rid of Mijo. That was the line. That was the
that
line.
That was it.
He just
you can take over the children's bedroom.
Yeah.
But if you shit in my Firebird.
Oh, no.
That was a guess. Was it close?
No, it wasn't. What was it? I forgot what it was, but it was like a Plymouth Duster or something.
Oh, nice.
Some crazy.
Oh, wow. Mijo.
Like, or a Citation. Some shit. I don't know. But yeah. Yeah, that's I mean, that's just what it was.
Crazy.
That's
dog
about.
Burials at sea. When,
yeah.
When I was like, I guess maybe 14, my parents decided to rent a house down on the Jersey Shore. Mm. Rented. This is the only time we ever did it when I was a kid. They rented a place in a town called Lavalette, which is a really nice town. Rented a place right on the beach. Spent a week down there. It was awesome. It was like one of the best times I had when I was that age. You know?
Yeah.
But one of the weirdest parts of it, and a really shitty part. We were at the beach, and you see something out on in the water, floating. It's like dark, just floating, and nobody knows what the fuck it is. And the lifeguards are kind of freaking out. And a friend of our family, their oldest son is a lifeguard there. And we're all like wondering what's going on. Lifeguards blow the whistle, get everybody out of the water because they don't know what it is. So now everybody's standing on the beach watching. As this lifeguard goes in to see what it is. This is horrible. This is such a terrible story.
It can't be worse.
I'm sorry, I came. I'm sorry, guys.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
This is...
As long as it's entertaining.
It's entertaining.
And it is.
It's entertaining
it
if you're a
it's,
fucking
it's just
psychopath from Puerto Rico.
This stuff really happened to us, though.
Yeah. It's great, dude.
All right.
So the lifeguard swims out to it. And before everyone on the beach can see what it is, we see his reaction to him seeing what it is.
Right.
Like Jaws. Like,
and he just closes his eyes and throws his head back like, oh, God. And it's a dog. It's someone had thought they would give their dog a burial at sea, but it didn't work.
Yeah.
It floated, of course. They didn't do it. It was in a bag. It's like someone's... Oh, it was horrible. The poor lifeguard had to like pull this dog, this dead dog, out of the ocean in front of like there's like 300 people standing there watching. By the end of it, it was just brutal.
Yeah.
My friend's dad. My friend's
no,
dad.
No, keep him coming.
Oh,
keep
well,
him coming. Keep him coming, people.
My best friend's dad. We were all real. I was tight with his dad and everything. And his Jamaican, and. The dad passed away, and I said a little something and everything, and my friend was like, I want to bury my dad in Jamaica in the water. We're going to do a burial at sea, but the ashes. We're going to throw his ashes in the water, right?
Okay, that sounds like a better plan.
Better plan than throwing the body. Yeah, right. Yeah. So, but he didn't think it out quite. We got so I'm like, he's like, I want you to come with me. What we're going to do is it has to be at sunset. We're going to rent a boat. We're going to play his favorite song. It was like soca music. This guy, Sparrow.
The Mighty Sparrow.
The Mighty Sparrow, right? He's going to play his favorite song. It was that. And then there was a song, The Naughty Little Flea. And it's this old X-rated song about this flea that climbs up this lady's leg right into her cooch, and it's like in heaven.
Holy
right?
shit.
But it's like a 1930s song or some shit like that. So it's all like allegorical and shit, you know? So
people are going to be Googling that and listening to that yeah. song
oh, dude,
for sure.
It's the
people,
best song.
I am.
Yeah, myself included. The Naughty Little Flea.
So he gets like the iPad or whatever. He's got all this shit. We get out. It's got to be at sunset. We get on this boat. And it's like some fisherman's boat, right? And the guy's like, you know, he's got the fucking mesh shirt on. And you know, what a blood clot. What are we? You take the wire up on the water. And we go. The guy's not happy to be doing it, but we're just up. So I'm acting as the, because my friend's very emotional. I'm acting as the intermediary. I'm like, the guy's like, when we're gonna throw this in the water? I'm like, this is a burial. It's a burial for my man here. This is his dad. This is his pop. So just, you know, just fucking steer the boat and get us out to this area. Right. So we get out and the sun starts coming down really fast. And my friend's trying to put on the Naughty Little Flea. He's got the urn. We can't open the fucking urn, right? So we're trying to open it. So he's trying to be all like respectful and everything. And at a certain point, I got to get like a rusty screwdriver from the captain guy there, punch a hole in urn, and just we like shake it out like pepper. just at sunset, the Naughty Little Flea's playing, and it worked out, and half of it got on us. But it was like it was a good moment.
You feel that worked out?
It worked out, you know.
I didn't say that. At the end of the story, you said it worked out.
It was 50-50. It was 50-50. It was a lot of planning that went on, you know, but we're shaking it like a pepper shaker. It was the best. And he was like, well, at least we got, you know, most of them in the body of water in Jamaica.
That's wild.
You know the guys from Deadliest Catch? We've had a couple of them on the show.
Yeah.
Jonathan Hillstrand called in. He and his brother Andy are captains of this boat, the Time Bandit, which is has been one of the main boats on Deadliest Catch for years. It's called the Time Bandit because remember the movie Time Bandits?
Yeah. Sure.
With all the little people?
Little people.
They were all
It's a Terry classic Gilliam. That I don't get.
Right, yeah.
I don't, everybody
it's just,
loves
It's almost a cult time. Classic.
It's like Brazil.
It's
like Brazil.
Terry Gilliam
so
again.
Different from Brazil.
Yeah, but it's the same director.
Yeah,
no?
Terry
Gilliam. Yeah, it's Terry Gilliam, right? Yeah.
Terry Gilliam. I don't
Such
I don't,
a different
and
film.
Everybody
Baron
loves
Lachalice.
Everybody, yeah, but I don't get it. Like, right. I don't get Brazil. I don't get.
I love Brazil.
Visual. Yeah. It's visual.
Brazil's
man.
My favorite of those.
Okay.
I just remembered something that we could talk about.
Andy
Yeah, totally. How funny is that? We were both just reminded of that at the same time. Wait, we'll get to that in a second.
Will.
But
yeah, yeah.
So Andy and Jonathan, when they were little kids, they watched that movie, Time Bandits, and his dad. Their dad called them the Time Bandits because they were all a bunch of little kids running around while they're watching this movie that has all the little people, midgets, little people. So that's why their boat is called the Time Bandit.
Right.
Anyway, when their dad died, they fucking carried him up a mountain and buried him at the top of the mountain. The two of them together and a group of people did a pilgrimage up a fucking mountain in Alaska, I think, and buried him up there.
Wow.
I was like, holy shit. You guys know how to do it, man.
Yeah. I might have to cremate if I was going to do that.
before the hike.
Right. Walk with the urn, open the urn, make sure it's easy.
Right.
Sure
I thought that was great, though. Like, I was like, what a tribute to the guy, you know, that they would do something like that.
Good to have Sherpas, too, at that point. You know,
definitely
you
want to have somebody Tenzing, Norbert Tenzing with you, if possible. So... I can't believe we sat here this whole time and it hasn't even come up.
Yeah.
Angelo and I, probably our biggest moment ever.
Heated.
Caroline's Christmas party like 10, 12 years ago, right?
But that's the impetus. And then for like several times after that, we would bring it up again.
We had a debate.
Right.
We started talking about Andy Kaufman.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I was like... I don't think the guy was a genius. I think he was just fucking weird, you know? And everybody's like, oh, he's brilliant. I'm like, he's just weird. He's not doing anything. You know?
Yeah.
And so Angelo was like, what?
Yeah.
He flipped out. He's like, are you kidding me?
He was cutting edge. He was on the fringe.
It went on for hours.
We went on and on and on.
The whole night.
Yo, fast forward.
This is the pre-Time Bandits kind of.
Yeah.
And totally. I just thought. Debate was like, oh my God, there's another thing we see. From the same opposite viewpoints.
So, but I have to revisit Brazil because I have to tell you, I'm glad we're having this conversation. Years has passed by and Andy Kaufman was a dick. Years later, I'm watching him, watching clips, and I'm like, Ben was right. I swear to you, I've always held this with me. Like, I've always, this is, you too, like, I'll never forget our debate about Andy Kaufman. Years later, I was like, fuck Andy Kaufman, man.
Literally.
What did I see? It was sophomoric. It was just a big dude acting like a little kid. And I caught, so.
It's so funny, man, because that debate at
it's so
at
funny
because
now you fuck with Andy Kaufman.
It went for like 3.5 hours.
Laka was brought up.
We talked about Laka, and I thought he was awesome as Laka on Taxi.
Yeah.
He was great.
Wonderful. Yeah.
That's about it, though, right?
Well, but so then we talked about.
The sleeping bag, the wrestling stuff.
We talked about the wrestling stuff a little bit. We talked about the talk show thing where he had the huge desk.
That was hilarious.
Did you ever see the thing where he's he comes on as like part of a band and they just play a song, I Trusted You, and that's the whole song. It's just playing the same chord and he's just like, I trusted you. That's the only lyrics of the whole song all the way through. Right, so we talked about all of that shit that he did, you know, and at the end of it we were kind of like, I love you, but fuck you. You don't know what you're talking about. You're an idiot, whatever.
It didn't affect us.
No. But we never agreed.
I love you, but you're fucking wrong. And we're drunk. It's been 3 hours at the Caroline's Christmas party.
Years went by.
Yeah.
And then when we talked about it again, like 7 years later or something, we had both, as you're saying, we had sort of changed our mind. Like, after that big debate, I went and watched all this other stuff, and I was like, you know what? There was more substance to what he was doing than I originally thought.
That nap on stage for 2 hours just really resonated.
Yeah,
right. Well, we know where you stand, clearly.
See.
But it's so funny that over a period of years after that huge debate,
we both kind of came
around a little bit. Yeah,
it's so funny.
Would have been great if we just like started arguing the other way.
The other way. Yeah. You don't understand.
That was a fucking genius.
Now he's a genius. He's a dick.
That would have been
hilarious.
Yeah.
Because we went in, and people would come by and just like, what are you guys talking about? And then they just would walk away.
Yeah,
they're like, I can't fuck with this. And some would try to double dutch in and just, nah, I don't give that much of a fuck about this. So that is
funny. When you see all that performance art, you know?
It's funny,
so
man.
So funny, man.
Yeah, we will.
I used to just see so much of that performance art on the Lower East Side, like Surf Reality and all those spots. Yeah. So it's like, I think I've mentioned this before. There was this guy,
Eugene Merman?
Michael Portnoy.
Oh, okay.
And he was the Soy Bomb guy and the MTV Awards that came out with Soy Bomb.
But this guy,
the one time I bring my wife to Surf Reality, it's like this guy, Face Boy, he's got this open mic and it's all the Lower East Side, Maggie Estep and like all these, you know, Lori D and all it's poetry and this and that. Yeah. And that chick with the ears who wears the goblin ears, Reverend Jen, she would wear these Spock ears. That was her thing. She'd wear these Spock, you know, and she was known for wearing the Spock ears all the time.
So genius like, or?
But it was like a lot of these. So I bring my wife to, you know.
or Spock ears.
Or Lozano.
Genius, so she happened to be in an attic one day, going through her mom's old things, and fucking found these ears.
You should see the triple pussy. But but the, so
naughty,
I bring my wife, my wife
fleas.
Is not into this
Sorry,
shit. She's not into it. She's just totally not into fucking, you know, performance. In between, they'll do stand-up, and so go on to a set. So the guy, Michael Portnoy, goes on before me, and he whips his dick out. Does like five, 10 minutes of this. He whips his dick out, and he just talks to it in like made-up Russian. It's like Russian double speak or whatever. He's like, shnetsk, yum, yum, yum. He's just talking to his dick.
He's talking to his dick.
And everybody's just, you know, watching. And
is his dick saying anything back?
No. Okay. It's very quiet.
Okay. Shy.
But it's
it looks
shy.
Like it's trying.
But it was just so... I'm sitting there with my wife, and I just...
He's like the deaf mute at Quinnipiac.
It can't get a word in edgewise.
Let me in. Put me back
in. Sorry, I keep interrupting. Go ahead.
That's... And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, oh, fuck. Because I had just given her a speech like it's going to be fine, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I go, oh, I'm sorry about that. She goes, you know what? I went to high school with that guy. Right?
Holy shit.
Yeah. She's like, I know that guy. She's like, who knew?
Right? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It was and I knew he'd be doing this shit.
Yeah. He used to do that. He got kicked out of school for talking to his cock in art class. Yeah. Those shows were kind of a joke.
Yeah, it was, well, it's just, you know. It was,
I mean, good stuff came out of it.
Some
I
good
guess.
Stuff.
But
you're absolutely right.
But
you're absolutely
you know,
right.
Good stuff came out of it. But I think when we were having this conversation about Andy Kaufman, the alt scene wasn't, you know, it didn't burst the way it did some years after that, I guess,
right.
Maybe.
Yep.
But then
yeah,
when, later right. on, as I was like paying attention, or not, but noticing alternative comedy, I'm like, Andy Kaufman was a dick, man. Like, that's kind of what
those guys
around.
Made you go,
kinda.
Yeah, this is a waste of time.
You know,
this stuff.
I was at Surf Reality one night. I'm like, fuck Andy Kaufman.
Well, what was interesting is on one of our live shows, we had a live show when Dave Juskow came out, and right. everybody's supposed to tell a story right. on the live show. And Juskow came out, and I'm like, oh, man, what the fuck? What is he doing? And he goes up, and he just started talking about, what was that movie? Grease.
He was talking about Grease. Yeah.
He just kept talking about the movie Grease and like different parts of Grease and whatever. And people are getting real uncomfortable looking around.
There's
I'm
a
like,
lot of shifting in their seats.
Shifting
sure,
in
yeah.
seats because it keeps going. It just keeps going. It's got nothing to do with the story. It's got nothing to do with anything. And
just reenacting?
No, he's just talking about it.
It's about a character.
About a character.
Mostly, his name is Cheese or something.
Cheese, something like that. But you're in like 5, 6, 7 minutes. You're like, oh man, yeah. Is he going to even tell a story?
Yeah.
But then at the end, it morphed into him doing like some kind of
make
game
me laugh.
Show. Yeah, make me laugh.
That Mark Cohen hosted.
That Mark Cohen hosted, right. And that whole shit about cheese came to play in that piece, and it had a payoff at the end. But it was like he dragged you over broken glass to get to it. You know?
Yeah, you're
and
absolutely
that
right.
That's that performance art shit, yeah. Where it's like, you know, some guys really like to take you one way.
I think that was a, like, my story's only 2.5 minutes long, unless I do an 8-minute lead-in.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a pretty funny ending.
It was impressive, man. I have to say it was impressive because I was wincing. I'm like...
Really? Because
yeah,
the way
it around.
You told the story, it didn't sound like you were impressed at all.
At the end, I was impressed that he...
It was cool that he was able
so
to
he
pull
got
it out.
That he pulled it off.
He pulled yeah. it
Because
he
fucking
out.
Dug a hole, man. He dug okay. a hole, and then he
we were all,
it off.
Everyone in the room was sweating.
Yeah.
6 minutes in, everyone's like, is it fucking hot?
Right.
Jesus, man.
I just cheesed my pants.
What is making me sweat like this?
Yeah. Yeah. But
it's pretty funny. Like the way it ends is he tries to, he's trying to make somebody laugh on Make Me Laugh. And he keeps saying the character's name. His name is Cheese. I don't know if that's even the right name.
Yeah.
But he just keeps saying it, right. And the guy just keeps staring at him. And he's like, but his name is Cheese. And he just keeps saying it over and over, and it's not working.
Right.
It doesn't work. The guy doesn't laugh. And then the next guy comes up, and he's got a puppet. And he's just holding the puppet, and the guy's already starting to laugh. The puppet hasn't even said anything yet, and he's almost won after Juskow tried so hard. And then finally, like 30 seconds in, the guy's about to burst, and the puppet just goes, "Cheese!" And the guy just bursts out laughing. So it's like this crazy, long, hard to understand buildup, but a great payoff.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's timing.
I do respect that, man. I do respect, but when there's no payoff, I don't respect it.
You got to have the payoff.
You know,
or it's like, why do we come all the way out here?
Yeah.
You got to know what the payoff is, right? Like, or the performer has to. Yeah.
Yeah, you've got to know.
Because if they don't know. Because the payoff, right, but the payoff that they give you, they think, oh, this is going to kill. And it just eats a miserable fucking death. And now you're like, fuck, now I need another payoff. And you're sitting there for 15 minutes.
Yeah, now I
got to
make something
fuck
up.
Fuck you.
And then the building caught on fire.
Yeah. You hit him with the payoff. Nothing happens. And now
you just
got to
roll like that was still
wings.
Part of the setup.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know where to go from here. Everyone in the whole story is dead. I don't know what I'm going to do next.
Speaking of which, didn't you have a story about something happening in the audience? Somebody you opened for?
Oh, you know what? There's two
What's
stories,
this?
But
that's two stories.
Oh, this is that again. We're gonna go back in. Okay.
What is this? Is this with Trevor?
No. Can I? Okay.
I don't want to put you on the spot.
No. Because you said the dude pulled his dick out.
Oh.
And so you reminded me of this other story.
Oh, well, hey.
You do. No, hold on. But I think maybe you both did. Remember when I had the Audubon Bar and Grill up in the Washington Heights on 66 and Broadway many years ago? So I we would pack it out.
You've had a number of good shows over the
New
years.
New Eureka was my favorite.
New Eureka was the best. New Eureka was the best. It was the best. But I had this, I tried not to run the... I would have rooms in the hood and do the best I could to not have it be hood.
Doing the best I could in the hood.
I tried the best I could. But in the audience, little drug dudes would come in and, yo, Angelo, we love you, man. Yo, when you going to have, and they would religiously come to the show. So one night we have a show and it's Leslie Jones and Gerald Kelly and the little show area, and then usually I'm at the bar just, doing what I have to do. And Leslie's murdering, as usual. She's fucking killing. So now she's fucking with this booth of, these little drug boys. I don't know how it happened. I don't know what brought it up. I don't know who brought it up.
So these guys are like drug dealers.
They're drug dealers. And
Leslie's like, y'all sucked it.
So they started going back and forth, and the dude was saying something about his dick. She said, then whip that shit out. And she gets off stage, goes to the booth. Dude comes out. He pulls out his penis. He pulls his dick out.
Just for her, over by the booth.
Well, everyone's, whoever.
Everyone's still watching.
There's a vantage point if you were... And everybody goes crazy. I'm like, what the fuck just happened? So I'm checking, and I see she's at the booth. Dude is zipping his zipper. I'm what the fuck just happened? Like, he's like, yo, dude's, he pulled his dick out. I said, what? He says, no, but she asked for it.
Like, she did say.
Oh, yeah. Oh, then that's okay. At first, I was like, no, you don't pull your dick out at my show. But what if the comic asked for it?
Very accommodating of you.
Yeah, fair enough. I didn't think about that. All right. So she's done. She fucking crushes. She's done. Standing ovation. Gerald Kelly goes up. And again, I'm doing stuff. I'm not really paying attention. But then I notice he's messing with that booth with the little drug dealers. And he just wouldn't stop. And they kept going back and forth. And, here came the Corona bottles. Here came the Heineken bottles. Yo, they were pelting him with all. Shit. And then it became an all-out brawl. Don't really understand why, because he was just dealing with that booth. But I guess his loyalty, don't mess
just
with our boys.
It just blew up into
it
a huge thing.
It was insane. And I remember being at the edge of, I remember at the bar, and somebody threw a chair and... And it hit like this disco ball that landed right in the middle of like a table, four top. And I remember like, well, I never noticed that disco ball. That's kind of weird. Like, I never noticed it. No, they were. It was insane. The fact that nobody was hurt. It was, this dude was gonna throw a chair, and I grabbed a chair from behind. He turned. The dude was big. He said, "What the fuck?" All right, Angela. I'm like, "Yo, chair. What the fuck?" And then, you know, you hear the sirens, and it was just insane, man. So that when you say.
That's what you think of.
Pulling out dicks. I'm thinking about all out bras.
That's the uptown alt room. That's the uptown alt scene. Yeah.
Slightly different approach to the old Russian comedy.
Yeah, so whenever I hear that, I think of that.
Well, I think it's gonna. We're gonna have to wrap it up here, guys. Okay. But it's been another great episode of Tall But True. Angelo, I feel like we could sit and tell stories for hours.
We can.
Which means at maybe some I'll point come you should come back and do it again.
This is other story.
Save something for next time.
Next time. This
That's Angelo Lozada, everybody. Yeah, what do you want to plug? Tell them what you're up to.
Well, I have the Lozada Lowdown. The last Wednesday of every month is at the Gotham Comedy Club.
Yeah.
8 p.m. show.
Lozada Lowdown.
When is this
Bring
going
your
out?
Dick. Can
I just be ready to whip it out. Well, my next one is July 26th. I'm not sure when this is going to
That's perfect. Appear. That's perfect timing.
Awesome. Well, perfect, because DC is doing it.
Oh, nice.
He's doing the next one. And I got Mike Yard. It's going to be fantastic. And we have a real good
time. It's a good show. You always put on good shows, man.
And it's, you know, it's a stand-up and then interview. I'll interview DC afterwards. And then I usually have...
Wait, you do an interview?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's like a talk show, stand-up show. And then I'll have, in between, I have like a regular guest, like a civilian, if you will. Like last one, I had David Ushry, the news anchor on NBC.
Oh, okay.
That's cool.
I had,
he's not really a civilian, though, is he?
No, he's not really. But he's not a comic. I thought you were gonna have, like, anyone who's not a comic.
Not a comic, exactly.
Oh, okay. You know, I got you. Because we'll have guests on here sometimes that are like,
we've had Bailey's neighbors and his friends.
We've had just my buddies that I grew up with, or somebody who's not a comic or in show business. Gotcha. We try to do one
refreshing.
Once in a while. It is. It's funny to hear them tell stories.
I would love to sit in on one of those civilian ones.
You just want
to
audit?
Somebody who doesn't know who the Boston Comedy Club is.
$7.
Someone that doesn't know anything about that. So it's the Lozada Lowdown at Gotham Comedy Club.
Last Wednesday of
every month. Next one's July 26th, 8 p.m. show. I got DC, Benny, Mike Yard, myself. We'll have a special guest that's not booked yet.
Check that out, guys. It'll be a good show.
Thank you very much.
And you had a web series?
Oh, my web series. I co-created a web series called Get Some. We've won a couple of awards.
Get Some!
Yeah, Get Some. What is this? Exclamation point at the end. Get Some.
That's what you say when you're shooting the enemy down, mowing them down with a machine gun.
With your cheesy
cock. Get some!
Why are you spoiling the ending?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's what it's about. So, Get Some. Look it up. And
what awards? That's awesome. It's an
award-winning. Yeah, we won a couple of awards. Best episode. And I was nominated for best actor.
Yeah.
Really? That's great, man.
Yeah, it's been good, man. They flew me out to Vegas. I'm like, wow, this is nice. And then I lost.
That's okay.
Yeah, it was.
It's an honor just to be nominated.
Shut up, Ben. actually, you know when they say, real quick, when they say,
it's an honor just to be nominated, isn't it?
Oh, my God, what an asshole. Ben, oh my God, I'll never come in here again. Ben, just so you guys know, Ben said it's an honor to be nominated, and he points to his 6 fucking Emmys on his shelf. Those are beautiful. Yeah,
that's great.
You'd like to win one of those, but I mean, it was
I'm
wonderful.
Just fucking
it was
around, man.
I know you
I can't
are,
wait
Papa.
To check it out.
I know you are.
I always like everything that you do.
Appreciate that, man.
You're a great guy.
You're a good dude.
Great
both
comedian.
It's a pleasure to be here. I love you both, man.
Great storyteller.
Thank you so much for having
me, guys. If you haven't subscribed yet to Tall But True, please go up and post a positive review on iTunes.
Yeah. Only positive.
If you didn't like it, just don't listen anymore. You don't have to say something negative. Yeah. It doesn't do anyone any good.
Exactly.
You can figure out where I'm going to be when at therealbenbailey.com. I'm Real Ben Bailey on all social media. Cash Cab is coming back this fall, everybody, so get ready for that.
Yeah.
DC Benny,
yeah.
What's going on with you, bro?
DCBenny.com.
Lozada Lowdown, July 26th.
Lozada Lowdown, July 26th. Real DC Benny on Instagram, and I post I post stuff that I'm doing, and there's some things cooking, but I don't want to talk about them until they
leave them until they're real. Yeah. Yeah, you don't know something's done until you're sitting there watching it.
Yeah, till the check clears. Yeah.
No, you get the check, and it never goes on TV. Yeah. Yeah, you're like, shit, that never happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
And our next live Tall But True show is August 9th, right?
August 9th, yes.
August 9th.
Survival.
Survival? Yeah. That's what it's about?
That's
it's
a thing.
Oh, I like it. I like it. You guys got to come to a live show. It's awesome. Thanks for listening to Tall But True. More great episodes coming your way soon. Thank you.